about to get up. Life was ticking back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning, 34 minutes after the hour. Brett Easterbrook supposed to join us. Maybe he will, but this will be like the third time I have booked him, and he has missed his appointed time. But we remain hopeful he will join us at some point and talk about what it is he wants to talk about. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. Text me there. And, hey, we're going to have an uprising here, you know. Hey, so, hey, all I do day after day is read text. I don't get mad and call for change or whatever it is. I, what am I supposed to do here? This texter here, what is me being too passive? I am just a dumbass behind a microphone. You guys are the guys that go out and vote. It's so Bush League, Junior League, guys, to think that, like, you can't deal with the reality. Hey, I tell this people all the time, change has to happen incrementally. You want big, massive change in one fell swoop, it comes in the form of, like, a civil war. And we don't want that. I don't care what you say. You don't want that. You don't want the loss of lives. It ain't worth it. It has to happen incrementally. Things have to be disrupted incrementally. It takes a Trump. It takes a whatever. And you know, you get there. Because for every Obama, there's a Trump. And for every Biden, maybe there's a Trump. Maybe there's something else that comes after Biden that's better than Trump or worse than Trump. I don't know. But, like, yelling at the TV or yelling at the microphone, just not something that works. It's not going to get any results. You guys are insane if you believe that. I don't think all of you do, but that's what I do day after day because it's just the thing you do. But unnamed texter, you and I will get the banjos out and we'll strum some fight music. And we'll tell them we're sick and tired and we ain't going to take it no more. You think that's going to work? You think that's going to get you where you need to be? Michael, they won't fix it because the R's and D's both want their excuse to keep raising the national debt. I believe you're right, Michael. That's the dirty little secret because, look, and I said this before, I think Matt Gaetz is probably has the right approach. It's just the timing's off. And I don't know why now's the time to strike. But he's determined that. Now, the name I am starting to hear is Tom Cole. Tom Cole might be the pick for speaker. He's the vice chairman of the Appropriations Committee. He's from Oklahoma. I believe he's been in Congress since the early 2000s. He's got about 20 years of seniority. And he just reeks. He just looks Washington, D.C. He plays the Washington, D.C. part really well. But that's the name I want you to watch for in the speaker's battle. Is Congressman Tom Cole from Oklahoma might be the compromise candidate, which would be peculiar, but looks like the way we could be headed. In the meantime, you want to text, get in, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. What else do we have here? Pat, because they're not essential. They're lab rats for the government. They are lab rats for the government to use how they see fit. As a vet, I'm disgusted with our government. Toothless Bammer. Calm down, Jeff. You sound like Mark Levin on the show talking about Barnes & Noble. Almost ended his break with an aneurysm. It was an epic rant. We get straight, though. You like when Mark Levin rants, but not me. I must not do it very well. Tim. Jeff, you hit the nail on the head. All these race wars, police brutality, using the fire hoses, turning the dogs loose, all came under Democrat watch. And they have flipped it all on the non-educated voters to believe it. Yeah, it's police brutality. The majority of these police incidents where you have strong-armed law enforcement, it's like Memphis and places like that, they tend to be in cities with Democrat governors. That's the way this works. Because and it's a philosophical thing. I mean, big government types believe in big government, and big government by nature is going to have a big police force or a big fire department or a big water department. And that's what happens. I mean, that's what you need to understand, I think. But what's curious is Republicans getting the blame for it. And the perception is created that it is Republican governance that's leading to these problems. I think we got Representative Easterbrook on the line here. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on the program. We appreciate it. I want to get you on for a few things, but before we get into it, you're on the mend here. You're feeling better. How's your outlook health wise?
It's good. Yep, I'm on the mend, and basically I'm back to normal. So I'm doing whatever I want.
I'm glad to hear that, and hope to see you back in the hallways real soon. Obviously we wanted to get you on. Being from Choctaw County and that part of the state, and two routes in particular. When you and I have talked about four-laning Highway 45, it's been promised for 40, 50 years. It's just never been done. But the new one here, this West Alabama corridor, and widening it from Thomasville all the way to Monroeville, and then completing that Tuscaloosa to Mobile four-lane highway is something else that's been long discussed, and you think now the time is right to do it?
Yeah, on the if you look at the area, not just Washington Choctaw Park, which ones I have, even the ones north, there's not been a major infrastructure improvement in the roads in 50 years. There is no four-lane that you could get on, so to the north of the state or to the east or to the west to hit I-65. It's very, it's just small roads. The state roads, two-lane roads, and they're well-maintained, but that's not what we need for growth. We need a four-lane access, and I'll give you an example. I was the controller there at the steel, and you can only go south with heavy loads. To get down, you got to go to I-10 regardless of where you want to go. Most of the customers are not in Florida, so you're going in the wrong direction. And that site was built with the intention of having everybody that used stainless steel locate plants on that site. We've had a lot of them come in when I was there. Everything looked great till you get to logistics. And when they say, how do you go north? We say, you can't go north. How you go east? You can't go east. What about west? No, you have to go south. Discussions are over. That ends it quickly. Everything that we do is either headed west, which is, if it's southwest, that's not a big problem to go to I-10 and go across. But if it's in the northwest or midwest, you're headed in the wrong direction. If it's in the north or the northeast, you're headed in the wrong direction. There's no way to get there. Other than to go back to I-10 and start over. That's the same thing right up the street. McIntosh is sitting on a salt mine. Olin Chemical produces caustic and chlorine out of that salt. Those two chemicals are in the base for almost every chemical production that is made, regardless of what the chemical is. Somewhere it's in there. The other two salt mines in the United States, one is in Formosa, Texas, and the other one's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're growing leaps and bounds. Do you know why that one doesn't grow? There's no way to get in and out of there. No four-lane access. They're not going to put those chemical trucks on a two-lane road with chlorine or caustic in it. It's not going to happen. So the potential is there for a lot of growth. But we have to have four-lane access that we can go north, east, or west. We can't only go south. And the other thing, just a few things, the idea that we should do I-65 versus that one, guess what? If you four-lane 43 or 45, it takes pressure off of I-65. A lot of that is people going 65 because they have no other way to get to the northern part of the state. 43 would take a good bit of traffic off, and especially industrial traffic. 45 would take a good bit of traffic off. And the argument that 43 is needed just so Mobile people can go to Tuscaloosa is beyond understanding. They don't use 43. Since Mississippi four-laned the Highway 45 to the Alabama state line, they go up Highway 45 to hit that four lane. They no longer go through them little winding, twisting roads up Highway 5. It's 45 is four lane from Wisconsin to the Welcome to Alabama sign. The other way, east and west, has been promised, I don't know how many times, is Highway 84. It's four lane from California to the Welcome to Alabama sign. It picks up again on the east side of Alabama and four lane on. It's just that one strip through there. They're fixing to replace the bridge on the Tom Bigby River now. It's an old swing bridge, and it has to be replaced. And it makes no sense to me to put a temporary bridge in so you can replace the other. Why don't you put a permanent bridge in, knowing it one day that thing has to be four lane? The bridge would already be there. We're spending millions and millions to put a temporary bridge in. I don't understand it. You're building the field, the whole nine yards. Why not build it permanently?
Well, tell me this. Let me interrupt you here. A lot of this falls on ALDOT. And I mean, like, I know there's a lot of lawmakers and the lieutenant governor are very critical of a lot of this. But just me standing here trying, I feel like Cooper and ALDOT are just, they're not doing a great job at selling these projects. And furthermore, when you mentioned the Tom Bigby River Bridge there in 84, crossing over that old, what, the Folsom Bridge. And then, you know, there's some places on 45 where they're putting in two-lane road. And there's no foresight to think, hey, someday we might want to expand this to four lanes on these two roads. They're building for the future as if that's going to be two lanes for the next 100 years. And I think that's where a lot of people, like, look, you don't even have a plan in place in the event we want to expand these roads, and you're building them in such a way that, you know, if you wanted to come in and you wanted to make it a four-lane east-west or north-south route, then it's going to be even more expensive whenever that time comes.
Exactly. They just finished one right now that they built the field, put in a temporary bridge, put in the new bridge. Now they're fixing to tear the field out and take the bridge down. How much sense does that make?
It doesn't. But that's the, this is like one of the symptoms of the bigger problems with ALDOT. I mean, number one, they're not real open about what their long-term plans are. They don't really care about what the public or even you guys in the legislature think. And I think, like, a lot of this like controversy could be diffused if you had somebody in charge that wasn't just like a bull in a china shop and very arrogant. And I hate to say that about somebody. I mean, I don't want to make it an ad hominem thing, but that's the impression, and it just rubs people the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if they put more information out, it would. But the argument about the matching funds, I understand that. We should have matching funds if we if they're available for any project. But they don't have matching funds right now for I-65 either. To me, it sounds like another excuse for why we're not going to do anything in West Alabama.
Well, let me ask you this. They didn't even try. The representative, my understanding is they didn't even look into it or pursue it. They said that would take too long. This project needs to get done by a certain point in time, a certain date. We don't have time for that. We're going to forgo that.
Yep, which I don't agree with, but my guess is they're doing that because they know that if this governor's gone, the next one probably is not going to touch it one way or the other.
And
so whether there was matching funds or not, there's been a good excuse for 55 years now not to do anything. Joe McCorkadale was Speaker of the House when 43 was four-laned to Thomasville, and when he left, they shut it down right there.
Well, and last question, we'll get you out of here on this. I mean, do you worry about that? If this project goes and it gets going, and you just run out of time, and the next governor says, that's a dumb project, we're not finishing it. Is that something that you're concerned about?
I'm concerned about the next governor wanting to spend the money where the most votes are. Most definitely I'm concerned about it.
I think that's a real possibility here, unless you can win over some hearts and minds, but that's where it looks like it's headed.
Looks like where it's headed, but we're working pretty heavy to go the other way. We're going to build a coalition for West Alabama, and governor's whoever's running is going to come forward. We're going to vote as a block as much as possible. It's the voting that's kept us. They focus on where the votes are at and keep doing the same thing, putting more stuff in the same places, calling it congestion, putting more in, brings more traffic and more people, and we're right back to the same thing, or it's congested again. It makes no sense to me, none whatsoever.
Representative, we thank you for your time this morning, and let's get you on again sometime. We got a little more time.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Brett Easterbrook, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
So cold, but I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.